Yeah, just such a text message. Where are you?
So, tonight, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. Now, one of the scriptures in here that you want to memorize, if you can, is 2 Corinthians 5, 17, which is a very famous scripture that has been comfort to people. You'll see that in just a bit. Last week, we were looking at the fact that Jesus is the only name that you can have to get saved by. Tonight, we're going to look at, well, what happens when you got saved? From now on, then, we do not know anyone in a purely human way. Even if we have known Christ in a purely human way, yet now we no longer know him this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it. Guide us in our studies. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Paul had been an unbeliever. He was very Jewish, but he didn't believe in Jesus. I think if you had gone to him and said, "Do you believe Messiah is coming?" Being a Pharisee, that was one of their tenets. Messiah is coming, and we have certain things that we must do in order to create the situation where the kingdom of God will come forth. Unfortunately, his ideas of what those things were was incorrect. In that period, he regarded Jesus according to human ideas, and he thought Jesus was a blasphemer. And, once again, as C.S. Lewis has often said, you cannot think of Jesus as anything but absolutely a crazy man or a blasphemer or the Son of God. Because he either is who he said he was, or he's lying to you, or he's crazy. Now, Paul saw Jesus in a spiritual manner. And this is what he meant when he would say that someone is in Christ. That they have allowed Christ into their life. Not that they're just reading the Bible. Not that they're just looking at things. As I went through my beginnings of college, I was at a Catholic school because the big school in Burlington didn't want to let me in. So I got into wherever I could get in. And you had to take a theology class. And they literally, it is what the Greek etymology of that is. It was theology, the study of God. And they were studying him and nobody knew him. And they could tell you every word in the scripture, but they didn't know what it meant. They had not come in to Christ. They were not in Christ. They were playing games. And when one of them would actually come to Christ, the effect was just amazing to see. My humanities professor at one point, I had said to him, you know, I'm a Baptist and I'm not a Catholic, and every time we start with this prayer, and most of the people here, they can do it, but they have no idea what they're saying. They literally have said it so many times that it's just humming, humming, humming. Could I open in prayer one day? And so, sure. So he has me open in prayer. And I pray just the way a Baptist priest prays, you know. And Dr. Fairbanks had this look of stark terror on his face. And he said, Fletcher, you talk like God is your friend. And I said, he is. And everybody's ducking under the tables to avoid the lightning bolts that must surely be coming. And I realized at that point, these people have no concept of being in Christ. None. When someone comes to Christ, he changes. The old is gone. The new has come. Now, sometimes this takes a while. And sometimes you get a little closer and a little closer and a little closer. And sometimes it just turns around right now. It's like, oh, my Lord, this is what I've been looking for. Jews are like that very often. When they come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Savior, they will go nuts because they've been looking for this guy for millennia. And when they figure out this is him, they want to grab him and never let him go. They're a new creation and they're not them anymore. I had a bad situation when I was in the Philippines, and I was holding it against this one guy, and Pat would always say to me, you need to pray that he gets saved. I said, I don't want him to be saved. If he gets saved, he'll go to heaven and he'll ruin it. Well, my pastor said no, because if he gets saved, he won't be him anymore. He'll be something new. And I realized that was true. New creation. Now, I knew a girl. I had gone to a thing called Bible Institute of New England. And I knew this girl. And she came in, and her shtick was that she had gotten saved out of a life of just all kinds of sexual immoralities and all kinds of stuff like that. And I kept trying to make her feel better about herself, and it wasn't working. And then I realized, I said, are you a virgin? And she said, haven't you heard everything I've told you? I said, no. But from the moment you were saved, you were a new creation. So in God's eyes, are you a virgin? And it's like, boom. Yeah, I guess I am. I said, then go forth and sin no more. Okay? Let it go. Don't carry that around with you. Just leave it there and go off and do Jesus' work. The old is gone. The new has come. And then Paul talks about our job in all of this. God brought us to himself. We've always said, you cannot lead somebody to give their life to Christ. You can just tell them about Jesus, lead them to Jesus. But it's the Holy Spirit and Jesus himself that leads them to salvation. I often talk about situations where people try to say that a particular thing isn't really Christian. Like, well, Jesus Revolution, something like this. And I say, but how many people got saved? Well, God did that, not you. I said, I never said it was me. I'm just telling you, if all these people are getting saved, something must be right. God brought us to himself. Now we need to lead others to him so he can bring them to himself. Everyone needs reconciliation. everybody's got something. We have a friend, and he would always say, Fletcher, I can't come to your church because it'll burn down when I walk in. He's convinced God won't have him. As it happens, his pastor, his father was a pastor, I guess, he said, but we all call him Doc, but at any rate, he's a good guy, but he's full of himself. He thinks he's all he needs, and I keep praying that he'll figure it all out. Everyone needs reconciliation. They can only get it from Christ. The only way we can be reconciled to God is through Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven whereby man may be saved. Reconciled to God. When you show up at the gates of heaven, their first question is, do you have any sins? And you're going to think, oh, I'm in trouble. I got a lot of sins. But if you gave your life to Christ, you don't anymore. They're gone now. They're all paid for. We got that from Jesus. He paid for it. That's what I've always said when I first heard Jesus Christ Superstar, they've got a part in it where Jesus is praying in Gethsemane. And my first thought was, this guy is scared spitless. He is just scared to death. And everybody says, you can't say that about Jesus. This is Jesus. No, Jesus was scared out of his mind about what was about to happen. And it wasn't about getting the crap beat out of him. He'd do that for us. He loves us that much. What scared him was taking all that sin we had known, no sin ever in his life. Says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. You can only get it from Christ. We must share this to everybody. I've often said the answer to every question, the answer to every problem is Jesus. Now, there's two sides to this. We may not want to share him with some people, like I didn't. Okay? We may just say, I don't want to go to that guy. Jesus says you can't do that. If I tell you to go tell that guy, you got to go tell him, whether you like it or not. Now, I've been in a situation of thinking I needed to go tell somebody about Jesus, and I was just very twisted around about it, and then all of a sudden, somebody from our church would come to me and say, I'm going to go talk to this guy. Will you come with me? And it's like, yeah, okay. And this guy would go out, and he would tell him about it. We may not want to share with them, but we have to. God told us to. We may not believe that some people have actually given their life to Christ. And like I said, that's possible. They may be playing games. I've known a lot of people that were playing games. And I would make them severely angry when I would say, you know, you need to really get saved. You need to cut out these games. Now, strangely enough, that was one of the things that was the heart of the Jesus movement. I happened to be around, I was in Vermont at the time, but I happened to be around when a lot of this was going on and it was spreading across the country. And people were saying, oh, you know, and yet you could just tell, this guy just wants to get in on this little grouping. This guy's actually committed himself and given his life to Christ. This guy has turned from his sins and turned to Christ. This guy has not. We may not believe that some people have given their life to Christ. Well, then we just keep trying to tell them until we're convinced that they really did it, that they are in Christ and they're safe. Jesus paid the price for all this. We couldn't do it. We wouldn't do it. I don't like anybody that much. But Jesus did. And so we have no choice. We have to keep telling people about Jesus. So what about us? We have to have spiritual eyes. We have to see Christ spiritually. We don't play the little games that some people play about who was he, what was he. I mean, it's often been said there's more evidence for the existence of Jesus Christ than there is for the existence of Abraham Lincoln. That's just by keeping score of how many documentations or whatever. But at any rate, they will say, if you believe that Abraham Lincoln was actually president of the United States, you got to believe in Jesus because there's more proof of that than there is Abraham Lincoln. But we must have spiritual eyes. We must see who he was and what he was. We have to see the difference between just playing games and being in Christ. We must see the changes. When somebody changes, everybody thinks I pick on Vicky a lot. I have seen so many changes in Vicky. Vicky is getting so much closer to Christ all the time. And that encourages me. That tells me Vicky's going to be okay. Jesus is going to take care of her one way or another. I see a lot of people who have got problems and have gone through them and they've gotten close to Christ. And it's so encouraging to me when I see the changes. That person's different now. Vicky used to yell at God. Mm-hmm. Now she just kind of tells him rather sternly that she's not happy with him and lets him take care of things. Jesus changed us. Now we need to lead others to be changed. That's why we're doing this. That's why Vicky does this. She's been homeless, so she has a heart for the homeless. She wants all of them to know Jesus like she does. Mm-hmm. Because then no matter what happens to them, we know where they're going to end up. Mm-hmm. Then we must encourage people by acknowledging the changes in them. We have to tell them, I'm seeing you getting closer to Christ. I'm seeing you studying the Word of God and trying to be more like Christ. And we encourage them. This was not an easy thing for me. God will tell you. I grew up, I didn't like people because people had mistreated me really badly. Didn't like people. Now, the Lord has put a pastor's heart so that I want to help people, not just come to Christ, but to grow in Christ, to feel better about themselves. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me these sermons that bang on me as much as they do as anybody else. Hopefully one day I'll actually be almost you. That's my goal. In Jesus' name, amen. So, thanks for being here, guys.